This episode brought to you by Pluto. Pluto is a cloud-based payments platform offering a two-way integration with QuickBooks and Xero. With a growing list of over 9,000 businesses and accounting and bookkeeping firms of all sizes in the U.S. and Canada, Pluto helps to automate accounts payables and receivables workflows. Pluto increases overall processing efficiencies and automation by managing your AP and AR through a single platform, saving clients more than 14 hours of administrative work and hundreds of dollars each month. For more information about Pluto, visit Pluto.com. All new accounts include a 30-day free trial, so book a demo today. Hello, and welcome to another episode of Accounting Insiders Podcast. My name is Gary Dehart. I'm the publisher of Insightful Accountant and the host of the Accounting Insiders Podcast. And today, my guest is Omar Visram. Did I say it correctly?
You did.
All right, I'm up for one so far. Now here's the one that's going to get me. Omar Visram with Ankle.
Yes, that's correct. Ankle.
Ankle.
Yeah.
Not the body part, but that's how you say it. It's really funny. We were talking prior. So he's on the west coast of Canada. I'm in the southern U.S. So we have we're separated by the common language of English with some accents. So.
That's going to cause a lot of problems today, I think. But let's hope not.
Yeah, right? That's really funny. So, but hey, if we can't laugh at ourselves, who can we laugh at, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. So your business, Omar, again, thanks for joining me. And we were actually connected by the team over at Pluto, because you are a user of their services and their platform. We're going to talk about that in a little bit. But what we like to do is have guests on who are from within the profession. So you can kind of just talk about your business, the history of your business, how you got to where you are. And so we're going to touch on many different things over the next 15 to 20 minutes. So let's kick it off with just a little bit of your background.
Sure. Thank you. So I started Ankle 7 years ago. I had previously been with KPMG. I did the typical audit and tax path. So I was there for 8 years. And while I was at KPMG, particularly in tax, I really saw this gap in the market. I saw that I could never find good bookkeepers for my clients. People were always struggling to understand their numbers, and nobody used technology well. And at the same time, I knew I wanted to start a business, but didn't really know what I was going to do. So I left KPMG. Went to work for the Auto Club in the U.S. It's AAA or CAA.
Oh, okay. Yeah, CAA, sure.
Right? And so I went to work for the local chapter here in B.C. They were working on a startup, a car sharing program. And that really gave me an opportunity to do something different, try something different. And in that time period, I actually reconnected with an old client of mine who had experienced the bookkeeping pain point. He said, hey, why don't we start something together? And here we are. Ankle was born, and realized very quickly that there was a lot of need for what we're doing. Today, we're a team of 80 people globally. So 30 of those people are in Canada, located across the country. Almost everybody works remotely. And then we have a team of 50 people in India. India is where we have our own team of people, and a lot of the processing, bookkeeping happens from there. We're a tech-enabled services firm, using the latest and greatest in accounting technology. So QuickBooks Online, Dex, Pluto, really the best in breed tools. And really we like to think of our business as being a very simple business. It's three things that enable us to deliver a great outcome to our clients every month. It's people, process, and technology.
And is there when you were at the AAA equivalent, were you in there in an accounting function?
No. So that was the fun of it. I thought I wanted to get as far away from accounting as I could. So I went from being a tax manager at KPMG to being an operations manager at the Auto Club, responsible for fleet and client experience.
That's a little different.
Part maybe a little bit more intuitive, but the fleet part, like, I knew nothing about cars.
Right. That's really, you know, to turn the key, right? Well, you don't even turn a key anymore. You push a button.
Push a button. That's right.
Yeah, that's really funny. And that, so you never know, right? We don't know what the next leg of the journey is. And then that brought you back into accounting,
Into
but in a completely different world of accounting, right, than
correct.
what you were in at KPMG. I
That's
mean, it's
right.
just worlds apart. Nothing against the KPMG type of firm and the work that they do, with this question I'm about to ask you, but what was more fun for you? KPMG type work or the client accounting work that you're doing now?
I don't know that those two can be compared, to be fair. So I did love my time at KPMG, and if I were to practice tax, there's no place I would rather do it than KPMG. I worked with wonderful people. I didn't actually leave KPMG unhappy. A lot of accountants, run away after tax season. That
Right.
wasn't me. For me, ANCL has been about building a business, and being an entrepreneur. Today, the types of, we're a large enough team today that I don't get too involved in transactional, client related issues. But when I do, it's about, this expense report is off by $7, and it really makes a it's a really big problem for somebody, right? So my problems are very different today, I would say. But for me, ANCL has been about building my dream business.
But you did run away from tax, and you don't do tax, and you don't do audit now, right?
Correct. We don't
Right.
do either of those things.
Right. Thank you to those who do tax and audit, but
We need you. We totally need you.
yes, right. Yes, thank you for those willing to die on that sword for us. So as we were talking, and you already mentioned kind of the people, process, and technology, what would you say? What's your core? Like, what do you bring to the table with your partnership, or with your business partner?
Good question. So we both have, I would say, very different skill sets. So I know
Which is
accounting,
great.
right?
Yeah.
He's actually an engineer, like a software engineer, and has a software outsourcing company. So when we thought about what we were going to build together, there were a few key things that stood out. So he has significant offshore operations, so we knew that that would be an opportunity. I know accounting, so I can look at a set of financial statements and say if they're good or not. And I actually did a lot of bookkeeping in the early days, which was kind of fun too. But he also just, having built a couple of technology companies, the idea always was that let's build a services company first, a services company that delivers fantastic outcomes to clients. But the technology part, and we're getting there, we're, building a little bit of technology that sits on top of QuickBooks and helps clients digest their information in a better way. That will be something that will come later and will become quite important to the overall ANCL story.
Yeah, right. And so when you talk about people, process, and technology, and if someone's listening to this thinking, great, well, here's a guy who was in a completely different world 7 years ago, and now he's got a business with, 80 plus minus employees, in North America and in India. How do you go about that? Which one of those do you do first? I mean, people, process, or technology? Because yeah, I mean, without process, nothing's going to work. Without people, it's not going to work. Without the technology, it certainly is not going to work, right?
I would say, so the short answer is don't try to be too creative. At the end of the day, this business is still very much about brute force and execution. I know that sounds a little strong and a little harsh, but you need to figure out how to deliver good quality bookkeeping to clients. And at the beginning, that's going to be you doing it, right? But very quickly, you will hire your first employee and the context will change. Don't try to be too creative with the technology. There's a reason that there are some big players in the market. QuickBooks, not perfect. Don't fight it, but it is, I would say, the best in breed sort of off the shelf accounting product today. in its price point. Of course, I'm not talking ERP level.
Right.
And then the process. This is the part that I maybe didn't get as much at the beginning, but it's not just about hiring people, using QuickBooks. As you bring on another client, you hire another person, or whatever that ratio ends up being. The process is the part, the process and the technology, but really more the process today in this business is what gives you the scale. If you have five people and they're trained the same way and they're using the same checklist, that's what I mean by process. And that is so key and so important to being able to scale.
Yeah, we're struggling with Southern US, we're struggling with process here. We don't do processes, but no, so again, back to accents. So right. Internally, just in our company, we're small. You know, we've got two business partners and multiple contractors. We have a good technology stack, I think, but we don't leverage it nearly as well as we could. Yeah. So process is so important, and it's actually funny. That's what I spent some of my weekend, you know, thinking time, right? Was how do I, the challenge of all small business owners, right? Is you have all the stuff that you have to do. You have the things that you really want to do, but all this other stuff competes with that time, right? And in order to grow, we've got to get all that have to do stuff off of our plate that we're not the only ones who can do it. If you know what I mean.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And so the point there is, you know, on day one, you'll be the bookkeeper, but when you hire that first employee, your role should change. You should really start dedicating a lot of time to building process, because that's the infrastructure that will make your business stronger. Yeah.
And from a long-term down the road, selling the business or merging with another firm, if you don't have those processes in place, the business is not going to be worth nearly as much as it could be.
Correct.
Both because you can't scale it and because people will get it and have not be able to do anything with your firm, right?
Right.
If you don't have a structure in place. So as you guys look to grow, let's say as you're bringing on new clients, how do you know, you probably know by now, just for having done it for 7 years, at what point do you know where we have to add another person in bookkeeping or in payroll? How do you kind of forecast that?
Yeah, okay. This is a good question. You're getting into somewhat controversial territory. Because there are firms today that believe you shouldn't track time, and there are firms that, like mine, that believe you need to track time. And time, hours, are our currency, right? So we map our sales pipeline back to, you know, if we're closing X number of deals at X number of dollars, this is how many hours it's going to translate into. And that is what our operations team then has the mandate to go and hire.
Okay.
And so it's track time to figure out, you know, how good our estimates are, how much better we're getting, how much more efficient we're getting. It drives a lot of decisions in the business.
Yeah. And are you finding through that, again, you're probably much better at it now than you were 5 years ago, but you have a lot of surprises that pop up where you think, wow, I thought that was going to take, you know, 2 hours and it takes 10. Who knew?
Yeah, so it's funny that you raised this. I was reading a book. I will not be able to remember what this book is called because I can never remember the title of it. But this was just yesterday. And the guy was saying, for every time estimate you look at, always add 50%, because that's
50, just 50.
50. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So this was the research he'd done, and I feel really bad not being able to cite who this author is. So when you get people to estimate their time, they will always be wrong by 50%. If you get them to do it anonymously, though, they're much closer But typically from that, you know, not anonymous survey of how much time is this going to take you, you're off by 50%. So long story short, we're always surprised, right?
In what
the numbers are. But today we have enough data points in the system to know that file of X industry of X number of transactions of, you know, certain level of complexity is going to result in a certain number of hours. And if it doesn't, there's a problem. And the problem could come from multiple places. It could come from staff members that aren't appropriately trained. It could come from process challenges, or it could come from client challenges, right? Any combination of those things. And then it's some combination of the sales team and we have a client success team that then tackle that and address that problem.
Okay. And are you working just in Canada as far as your client base, or are you global?
Yeah, we have some Canadian clients that have US subsidiaries, but primarily we are just working with Canadian companies.
Okay. And so there's four areas of the business, right? Your bookkeeping, AP, AR, payroll, and controllership services.
Yeah.
Is that five?
That was five.
Yes.
I said four, but you named off five.
Well, we were lost in translation once more, you know, four, five,
we,
you know.
We count better on the West Coast.
That must be it, right? So of those, how does the business shake out? And again, anything that you can't share, obviously don't share, but, you know, is the business fairly, and when I'm talking about the business, I'm looking at the revenue side of it. Is it fairly even across those, or?
Yeah. Good question. It is not even. Bookkeeping is, I don't have exact numbers, it's about 60% of revenue.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, payroll would be 15. So that's what, 75. AP and AR, probably about another 20. And then controllership would be the rest of it. So really heavy on bookkeeping, I would say.
Okay. Is that changing? Harry, are you seeing that, like, the lifting that you have to do with clients? Has that changed and gotten a lot less drag attached to it?
Yeah, it's hard to really say because we've evolved. So much has changed in 7 years, right? Like, the technology has improved, but, you know, in Canada, bank feeds are still broken, right? They break all the time. But we've improved as a business in that we've built process, we've built small teams to tackle certain problems, right? Mm-hmm. So I don't know how much of it is just things have improved, technology has improved versus we as a business have improved.
Yeah.
So hard one to say. I would say, of course, you know, things have gotten better. People do understand you know, that they have to get you inputs in order for you to get to deliver certain outputs every month. And people have evolved to working with organizations like ours because they recognize that, you know, having people internally is just not as effective. So I'd say the market is more receptive.
Okay. Tell me a little bit about one of the items we've talked about, and we definitely want to touch on it here, and that's kind of payables as a service. And what is that? I mean, I've probably heard the term, but, and I probably have an idea of what that is, but I don't work in that. So what is it? Define that for me.
Yeah, it's like, it's like software as a service, payables as a service, accounting as a service, right? And what we're saying there is you get access to the delivery of the end product, which is the combination of the people, process, and technology for a very predictable fee, a fixed monthly fee every month.
Okay. And is that something where a company would be a bookkeeping client, let's say, and your payables as a service is an add-on to that? Is that how that
works? Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So when you speak to us initially about becoming a client, of course, we want to understand what scope of services you need, right? You may be a scrappy startup and everything goes on to, you know, credit card, and so there's no need for payables processing, right? So you don't buy our payables service.
No.
Today I was talking to a guy who wants monthly bookkeeping, weekly AP, right? And weekly AP is more expensive than monthly AP or no AP.
Okay. And you find that when you go through that process, or that he's still like, nope, weekly. I gotta have it weekly.
Yeah. And we've had people that want it daily, right? But we don't do daily. The most we do it is weekly.
Okay. Is there any area of that five, not four, but five areas of the business that you see as kind of your focus for your growth area?
Yeah, bookkeeping will always be, I would say, core. Payables is one that operationally has been challenging. But now that we have completely simplified the stack, we have one process in place, one tool, Pluto. I see a lot of opportunity there as an add-on to existing clients.
Okay. Then what about controllership?
Controllership is the one where I think we have the, I'd say, the most opportunity and where it will probably start to grow in percentage of the overall business. Just because one can, you know, bookkeeping is one thing, to get a set of numbers is one thing, but to actually use those numbers to make sense of what's happening, to understand your gross margin, that is where you can unlock a lot of value for clients.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, and I had a conversation, actually recorded one of these on Friday with Ben Richmond, who is the country manager of the U.S. for Xero. And the term he uses, I don't know if it's his term or like a Xero term, but was true advisor.
Yeah.
And when you get into that controllership type services, that's when you really can be that true advisor, leveraging those tools, because again, you know, anybody can generate the data.
Yeah.
It's mostly generating itself, right? But anybody can generate the data, but you know, where you as a firm owner can distinguish yourself, make yourself stand out, is to be able to take that data and make it actionable for the client, the small business owner or mid-sized business owner, whatever size, and start giving advice and recommendations. So to me, I mean, I look at that list of five and go, that's got to be where the most opportunity. This is also going to be where the higher dollars are, I would imagine.
Absolutely. Yeah, yeah. That part of the business sits independently from the other four services. So the other four services, okay, we have a very tight operational model in place. Controllership, we think it's important that the controllership team sort of sit separately from the rest of the business for a few reasons. One, we don't want those people doing bookkeeping work. Their time is too valuable. And then you run into the issue of persons, you know, going in and fixing a little something in QuickBooks, and then they kind of miss the forest from the trees, right?
Right.
They lose the ability to see the big picture. But also importantly, we think it's important that a controller looks at the books through the lens of the client. If I own this business, you know, what would these numbers be telling me? What would the business owner want to know? And they start to ask those questions when they're a little bit more removed from the bookkeeping operation. There's crossover, of course, because they need the context on some of the transactions, and that's something that we're not perfect at. But that's been an important decision and distinction in our business.
Gotcha. So two more questions before we wrap up. One is just around AI. Can't turn a page without hearing something around AI. Mm-hmm. And, you know, is it going to replace accountants? Is it not going to replace accountants? Is it just going to be a great tool accountants can leverage? What's your thought? And if your business partner is a software technology guy, I mean, he's got to be deep into AI at some level. So what's the general thought there within your
firm? Yeah. So I'm in the camp of this is very exciting, right? I think for Ankle specifically, what this can mean is greater use of technology to automate transactions and improve quality without people having to be responsible for the quality internally.
Okay.
But make no mistake, the role of the person, human, is not going anywhere. It is just going to change. So the example I like to use is I offered to write an ebook using ChatGPT, And I don't really know anything about not-for-profit accounting. Like, sorry, that's not a true statement. I know something about not-for-profit.
You're not a subject matter expert. I'm not a
subject matter expert by any means. And we have a subject matter expert internally. And so I used ChatGPT to write up this ebook. And basically, it was all wrong, right?
Right.
You need to know what to ask ChatGPT, yes. Right?
Yep.
We're going to need people that know how to make ChatGPT and other AI tools work for us. But make no mistake that the second you don't understand the context, you will get it completely wrong. So right. It's a different way of working. It's a way that can give us greater scale, but the role of the person is very important and just evolving.
And are you looking at any of the tools to bring into your firm?
We are looking at a lot of different tools all the time. We are looking at things that bring incremental improvement, right? So as simple as like coding rules, Dext has, you know, some level of AI built into it. To the extent that we know those features and we're able to leverage those features more extensively, we see that as the biggest opportunity right now.
Gotcha. Okay. Then my last question, and that was in our previous discussion, you had talked about marketing was one of the topics we talked about, kicked around about discussing today. Tell me just a little bit about what you do from a marketing standpoint. Again, you've gone in 7 years, you went from two people, or actually was your business partner, is he like fully active, or was it really one guy?
Never done any bookkeeping.
Yeah. So it was really one person and then this other guy over there doing some coding or something, yeah. Right? And so you've gone from that to 80 people in 7 years, which is very impressive. And I think you had mentioned that, you know, marketing and SEO is key and core to that growth. Part some wisdom.
So I always had this hypothesis that if you put like good quality, meaningful content out there, that it will benefit you over the long term. Yep. We've invested heavily in that engine, really the, generating good quality content that people care about and that people refer to. And today, and this has been, you know, something we've built over time, is that a lot of our inbound lead flow comes in through the web, right? A lot of it also comes in through referral, and don't ever underestimate the power of referrals and partnerships and all of those things. But I think there is, you know, something to be said for putting meaningful content out there that people care about.
Mm-hmm. Now, are you putting that content out there? Is it on your site? You're putting it out and through paid, or are you doing, how are you getting it out there?
It's on our website. We do a little bit of paid advertising. I still struggle with should we or should we not, but we do. So it's out there on our website. That's the primary engine there.
Wow. And just on that one website really generated good, consistent lead flow for you.
That's fantastic. It has. It's something you just have to do and do consistently over the longer term.
Yeah. Right. And then I said that was the last question, but there's another one to follow. Okay. And that is, and it is tied with content. And that is your firm, are you niched down into any particular segments and specialties?
Yeah. So not-for-profit organizations is something that we started focusing on earlier. We had clients and we had a person who really knew the space, and it just kind of grew from there. We put a lot of content out into the world that's targeted at not-for-profit organizations. We have worked with a lot of technology companies as well. And then a lot of consulting businesses, and that's kind of a broad niche, so to speak, but, you know, everything from, a new advisory firm to a marketing services firm, it all kind of falls into what I would call consulting. And we have a lot of clients in that area.
So I would think it would be easier with air quotes to generate that, you know, the mass of content if you are somewhat specialized.
Oh yeah. Yeah. So and it's very important for that, right? When we put a piece of content out there for fund accounting, right? It's very much geared towards the not-for-profit clientele.
Right. Okay. Great. Well, thank you so much. Any other parting words of wisdom?
No, thank you for having me. Love having these discussions. They make me reflect on what we do and how we can do it better. But it's been a lot of fun. Thank you.
Well, it makes me want to go and get on my whiteboards back here and really keep working on our process on our side here. Because that is one of the things I underlined here was process is key, right? And I think the first thing you said is you have to have the right quality service, right? Don't let your service quality drop, but you got to have the right process, you have to have the right people, you have to have the right technology in place. And this is really getting when we're starting to think about how do we scale to become, an 80-person firm. Or even if I don't want to be an 80-person firm, I might want to be a 5-person firm, most importantly, where I'm not really having to do a whole lot.
Exactly.
Right? It might be if that's the goal, is to get, hey, I want to have 5 people working for me, but I want to work, 2 hours a day from the beach. Well, then you have to have the right people, you have to have the right process, you have to have the right technology in place to make that happen. So
absolutely.
And you've proved that that can be done. So, well, not the 2 hours a week working from the beach, I don't think, but
not yet. Good idea though.
Yeah, right. So if we figure it out, bottle it, and we can sell it.
Yes,
so.
There we go.
All right, Omar, thank you so much. I appreciate your time.
Thank you for having me.
All right. Yep. Bye-bye.